Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping season 7, episode 11 of Pretty Little Liars called
Playtime.
Never drop that alcohol. We love that song. You don't like the song 7-Eleven by Beyonce?
Wait, but I'm here. Oh, I was like,
oh my God.
No, for a second, like, I thought that,
hey, where did you go just
now? I was confused because I said the name of, that was a reference to the number, and I was like, it really threw my brain off to hear the song.
I was gonna start singing the song like right after I said the number, but I was like, okay, don't mess with the flow. Let Phoebe say the name of the episode. She's gonna like start hitting you underneath the table if you don't let her speak right away. Did I pull back the curtain too much? You guys know that when we record in person, that's why we've been doing it on Zoom, is to protect myself. It's called protective measures.
Right.
Because Phoebe will kick me out. She'll be like, don't say that. She's like, don't say that, Caroline. And she'll like kick me out. Right now, I wish you could see the way she's looking at me.
Okay. Because you're a dirty, rotten liar.
Oh my God, dirty? That is not
rotten
true.
And a liar,
rotten
sure.
And a liar. Okay. Oh, dirty. I resent that. All right, guys, I'm on the recap. It's not as organized as I would like it to be, but it's more organized than whatever Phoebe would have done. So I'm just going to just dive right in.
Man, hit after hit.
Okay. So let's start with Mona. Mona's back, and that's why we're starting with her, because it's really important. Hannah calls in the big guns, Mona Vanderwall, to help her with her plan, because obviously she had kidnapped Noel. It was a whole thing. The police were looking for Hannah. They thought she was the kidnapped one. It was a disaster. But Mona helped her, but somehow Noel still escaped. And all the girls ended up in like some fucking haunted house last episode with a blind Jenna Marshall with a gun and Noel Kahn, who did end up beheaded. So that was, it was crazy. We saw the head rolling around. Wild. Allie and Emily have kind of rekindled, even though, yes, I thought Emily had a girlfriend. I thought Emily was with Sabrina. So did Mose. We thought wrong. She is apparently on pause with Sabrina so that she can make out with Allie whenever Allie wants. Spencer went to go say goodbye to Toby. He built the house. He's moving with Yvonne. We're seeing the end of Spoby, or so we thought. Spencer's like, just before you go, can I stick my tongue down your throat one last time for old time's sake? And Toby's like, okay, Spence. And so they make out. And I'm like, Spencer, that was mean. Spencer, that was nasty of you. That was nasty work. That was. Because now he's going to crash his car, maybe, because he's not going to stop thinking about you guys kissing. And he's going to be so worked up that he's going to be driving his bride-to-be, and he's going to crash his freaking car. I'm just saying that could happen. Okay. Caleb and Hannah reconnected, and they did it on the floor of Lucas's loft, most romantic place in Rosewood, PA, and maybe the world. And it was reminiscent of their first time having sex together, which we all loved. And Phoebe hates that I just said the word sex, but hey, Phoebe, this is a PG-13 pod, okay?
Well, it's Thursday,
and we are sex pods on Thursday. And you guys know that. You guys know that. Mose is back, and she's freaking pissed. She doesn't want Emily to be with Sabrina or anybody, and she's caught on that maybe something's going on between Emerson, and that wasn't on her bingo card. Mary Drake has been revealed to be Spencer's mother. After Spencer got shot, by the way, Spencer got shot in this haunted house, the house of horrors, the house of Noel Kahn's beheaded head. And also we did find out, we were talking about like, can blind people own guns? Because it seems like there could be some logistical issues you could run into. The answer is yes, they can. So, which I want to know more about. And it's not me being mean, but like you can't.
I would prefer for the people who are hoarding guns in this country to
have
20/20
vision. Just like I want you to have a clean bill of mental health. Like, hey, don't. If I go in there to buy a gun, I want you to look at my psychiatrist's notes and say, I don't think so, honey.
It's not just visually impaired people who fully can't see. I mean, like, if you wear glasses, like,
I don't want you to have one. Sorry.
Because, like, imagine you're...
And I don't care if that makes you mad. If that makes you mad, it's like, why are you so pressed? Why do you need a gun?
Imagine you're farsighted and you, like, don't have your glasses on and you're aiming at a target.
Oh, my God,
but
imagine.
But there's someone standing next to the you.
I know. No, I know. And also, if you have shaky hands, if you have a caffeine addiction, like, don't give it to me. Because I'll be like... And then I'll, like, it'll go everywhere.
So in case you guys were worried, Caroline's not going to buy a machine.
I'm trying to convince you guys not to carry a gun.
Caroline's not going to buy a machine gun, but because
probably not.
But because of how much her hands shake,
it will feel like I did, because it's like I have no control over my digits. Okay, no digit control.
So you guys were wondering where we stand
on gun control. It's that no one should pretty much be allowed to have them.
That's where I
and I think that makes sense.
And it's not just blind people.
And I think given our country's history, that does make sense. I think we have a point here. Anyway, so that's just sort of our take on that. Anyway, and by the way, I do think it's super, super weird that anybody has a problem with gun control. I think it's so weird.
If you get defensive about it,
it's like you're weird. It's loserish behavior. If you're like, but I need my gun for what? Hunting sometimes? That's weird that's like you love it so much that the idea of saving a million children's lives a year is like not enough for you to want to put the gun down.
Literally.
You have to go shoot birds, ducks. Give me a break. My nickname is Goose. If you think I'm on your side, you're wrong.
I saw a video of hundreds of geese marching through the streets of Indianapolis.
Oh my God, that's a disaster. Stay inside. Hey, if you live in Indianapolis, you better stay inside. Did you know the geese are mean? Did you guys know that?
Well, I did.
Well, Phoebe knows that. I guess she thinks she knows that. But did you guys know that the birds, geese, not the human being that's named Goose, and not
guys,
the Top Gun reference
have
either.
Have we ever told this story? When Caroline was born, they had just...
We were both there, and it was a beautiful day.
Yes, well, of course, well, we're fraternal twins. Yeah, you can tell by the patterns on our arms.
Yeah, right, the hair patterns.
not the printed patterns.
Not the printed patterns.
You
can't. The printed patterns be something totally different.
Well, it's like you can't see through Caroline's tattoos.
Oh, right. I thought you were gonna say my hair, and I was like, you're gonna go to hell if you say that I have thick arm hair that you can't see my skin pattern underneath
your
it.
Tattoos.
But I forgot with my arm hair, and then you add in all my tattoos,
you
and then
really
you add in my skin pattern.
It's like you can't really.
It's like
see
I
it.
Don't know. They're layered. And the vitiligo, we right. must not forget.
That's a whole other thing.
Oh my God! Did you guys
That's
know about that?
Separate from the pattern.
I have vitiligo and eczema. Oh my God! Talk about skin conditions.
So Caroline was handed to my mom, and she and my dad were looking at her, and my mom's like, Caroline.
And my dad's like,
and my dad nods, and they're like, Caroline. And my mom looks down from my dad at Caroline and goes, Goose.
And they wrote that on the birth certificate. So my married name is Goose DeAngelis. And that's crazy, but I'm just going by Caroline Connell. I just made up that name and I'm sticking with it. Anyway, okay. Did I finish the recap? I feel like I did.
It's enough. We're in the ambulance.
Oh, Toby and Yvonne did get in a car accident, though.
A bad one.
I don't know why. Maybe it was because he was thinking about Spencer's freaking tongue down his throat.
We will always blame the slut.
And that's one thing about us. We love a slut shame. We are six paws with a slut shaming twist. Because you kind of don't
We're
expect
sex paws in that we will talk about sex, but not necessarily always positively.
It's forgetting.
Here's what it is. We will positively talk about sex, but not necessarily positively.
No, never if we don't want to. I keep forgetting that one of my students is not listening to this podcast. Hey, girl. It's okay. She was so nice. I was like, hey, it's okay for you to listen. Like, you're in high school. It's fine. I want you to think of me on the podcast as like a different person than
Caroline is severed before she,
yeah, exactly.
Before she put, when the mic gets in her hand, that's like going through the elevator and severance.
No, 100%. I touch the mic, my eyes do that thing.
Yeah.
And then it's different me. It's my innie, my outie, you know. But anyway, I was like, you just need to think of us as different. She goes, no, I don't think any less of you. And I was like, but thank you for admitting
any
that.
Any less
like,
of you is so funny.
I know, it was hilarious. But anyway, she said it was really funny.
It's like when Allison Williams did that interview with the girl who plays whatever the fuck her name is in the movie, the little girl.
Oh,
and
Katie?
They're like, what is her name?
Katie.
Yeah, Katie. And the interviewer's bringing up all these girls' moments. And Allison Williams is like,
and
like,
don't watch the
show. She's like, there's one scene in particular I can see, and I'm like, I do not. You can't watch it. Sorry, I don't care how old you are. You can't actually ever watch it.
I feel that about the entire show, girls. Katie, don't ever watch.
Yeah, yeah, because you'll think differently of Allison.
Yes,
Williams.
You will.
And it's not even
like,
because
she's not my cool aunt
it's
anymore.
It's not even that. Just because of that scene where Desi like,
no.
They're in the kitchen. It's not even just
no,
that.
No. Ugh, I love girls. I love girls. And anyway, okay.
So we're in the ambulance. Spencer was shot, and we have another mommy mamacita moment, two episodes in a row, because she's looking at the doctor and she's like,
she goes,
mommy?
And he goes, mamacita? She's like, I want my mommy. Are you my mommy? And he's like, I'm not your mommy, but I'm going to take care of you like I was. He's like, okay.
Okay,
did you
weird.
Add up that?
A little weird.
I feel like that wasn't in the script, that you guys just left it. You're like, it's our nephew. whoever is our collective nephew.
He's in improv classes. We'll just let him. We're kind of gonna let him run wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it didn't work.
Troyan's like, are you in a scene with me?
In a scene with me? Okay, I just thought those were more for the scenes with Lucy. Okay.
I thought you were gonna like have him come in and like flirt with Lucy for a scene and like.
Okay. Me, I'm kind of having, this is like my serious episode. I'm like having a serious.
This is my Katherine Heigl kind of season Hannah, 6 of Grey's Anatomy.
You let Ashley have like a lot of serious acting and you kind of took me off the docket for a little bit. And that's fine. Like, I'm happy to spread the wealth. But like now, get the fuck out of my ambulance to the guy. Anyway, the girls, we get to the hospital. The girls are following the stretcher in. Mary has run away.
In the ambulance, the guy keeps going, okay, who is your mom? Who was your, and Spencer's like, don't ask me this right now. I am a little bit like, Spencer, I know this is like going to present some kind of identity crisis
to
you.
But just say Vivi.
But I also think you're being a little crazy about like, I don't know who my mom is anymore.
Also like, how do you even remember what just happened to you? Like, you just came to in this ambulance.
It's a little
much. Shot. And also, we don't like believe anything Mary says. At this point, it feels like take it with a grain of salt kind of thing.
Exactly.
I don't know.
We go to the hospital. Mary Drake is missing. Jenna also is missing. And Hannah goes, Mary Drake's missing. Jenna probably walked into a closet.
So funny. But they're trying to figure out, like, is this confirmation that AD was Nolan Jenna? And if it was, does that mean that this is probably over? Aria's back to her, like, okay, I'm ready for this to be over. I want to get to my life now.
Literally.
And Emily is still in her, don't even say that. Don't even suggest that, because it's probably not over. And we both know that. So they see Toby then being wheeled in on a stretcher and they're like, wait, what the fuck happened to him? Not clear.
They don't see Yvonne.
And then we get like 2 weeks later or something.
One week.
That's it.
I know.
Oh, that's crazy. We're at the Brew. Toby and Aria, two people we've never seen have a conversation.
Aria's like, wait, what's your name again?
Yeah, literally. She's like, and so are you the, I can't remember you all Spencer's boyfriends.
Spencer?
Are you the guy?
Wait,
Spencer?
You're a rocking chair guy.
Oh my god, wait. I just watched The Notebook and you're like the I wrote you 365 letters guy, right? You're building a house.
It's like
cool.
It's like in Ginny and Georgia where like they can't keep track of the three boys Ginny is fuck.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're poetry guy.
Yeah. Oh, are you the guy? Are you abortion guy? Or like literally.
You know, I was like, man, we're really throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks.
No, I know. I was like, and why wouldn't she?
I'm like, if we are immediately getting rid of it, why did we even have the storyline to begin with?
I know. I mean, I guess it's an important story.
So that Georgia could pretend to be pregnant in two episodes.
Well, yeah.
Like, we don't really. It's an important story that deserves to not be like a 30-second, like, Jenny's completely fine right after. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe they were trying. I kind of wondered if they were trying to make it like, look, it's like not. It doesn't need to be this like life changing, horrible thing.
But I think it's. I agree,
you know?
But I do think it's important to showcase that it's not like women are just like going and getting an abortion like it's an errand.
Agree.
It like it will affect
agree.
Them.
I think there's like a middle
way.
Ground. I think it's tough in the abortion conversation, which we're now having, but I feel like it's tough because you don't want people to see it as like your go-to source of birth control. You don't want people to see it as something that you can just like do willy-nilly because it does have physical and psychological impacts for sure. And it is a massive decision. However, I do think there's also a piece of it where it's like there is this like extremist culture around it where so many people want people to be scared of it and think that it's this like moral, like it means that you're a monster. And it's like for some people, that is the right decision. And it doesn't have to feel like you're a bad
person.
Can
you imagine if all
of
this was happening in Ginny and Georgia and Ginny was having a baby?
No, I know.
I don't even mean the process.
This was the right decision. Like,
exactly.
And Ginny can look at her mother, Loki, and see that this is the
like,
right decision.
Wait, you've killed four people since having me.
Yeah. Like, what did I do to your brain chemistry? But I do just think that, like, I think maybe that was the stance they were trying to take where, like, look, it can be this option that is seen as healthcare that is, like, a decision that you can make and it doesn't have to be, like, this horrific thing. Even though a lot of times it is like it, you know what I mean? I feel like it's tough because it's like,
I think that's
why depending
I was
on
like,
who you're talking to, because there are some extremist people who are like, would, but then there's the Orange is the New Black depiction, which I think of often with Punxsutawney and how she's or
like
Pennsylvania,
she's there like every,
she, yeah. And like, that's an example of like using it as birth control where like So I just feel like there's so many different, and that's why it's such a complicated issue.
Which is why I'm like, I don't know that this, we needed it.
which is why I'm like, I don't know that Pretty Little Podcast needed to have this conversation
kind of dealing with a lot here on Jenny and Georgia.
There's plenty going on. Save it for season four.
Yeah.
Maybe let's let Georgia have it next. Like, let's.
Well, she's pregnant.
Well, now, okay, but she, you know, she's having that baby.
Oh, for because it's going to get one of them to stay around.
Yeah, 100%.
And somebody tells me she's going to pick one of them.
And then it's going to be the other person.
And then she's going to be like.
And 9 months later, it's going to be obvious.
And by the way, they couldn't look more different. So
yeah,
the baby
that's
will,
what I'm
the
saying.
Baby will look different.
In 9 months, it's going to be very clear. Anyway, okay, so back to Pretty Little Liars.
So Toby and Ari just met for the first time.
Yeah, they're at the Brew. Yvonne's in a medically induced coma, RIP. And he learns at this moment that Spencer got shot and that now she is home.
And Toby, Aria's like, do you want me to have Spencer like call you? And Toby's like, no.
No.
She like made out with me. It was really weird.
No, she's like trying to get in here. I'd rather her not have her phone.
Ari's like, oh, I heard about that. She said it was kind of bad.
She said the kiss. She said like you might have like lost it. She's like, oh, maybe there's nothing there anymore, and maybe like Yvonne's not a good kisser, and like taught him like maybe it's just like how she likes to be kissed. It's not how I like to be kissed, and that's what Spencer said.
Sorry,
so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Is it a bad thing? Sorry, is that bad? You're not okay. You seem upset. I can't say anything.
My favorite. that Arya is definitely that person in a fight who ends
the
up
the Hoda okay. in Love Island. He's like, oh, so I can't
oh,
say
so
anything.
Just fuck me.
Yeah,
fuck
oh,
me.
Fuck
I guess.
Me then. Okay. Yep. 100%.
So. Toby says, I don't want her to worry. I want her to like rest. I don't want her to worry. And we immediately cut to Spencer not resting and worrying.
and actually like doing active investigation.
How
on what?
Can we prescribe Spencer crate time and like a serious can we get her on a medically induced coma? Like I'm like
he's like
Spencer, you have a bullet in your shoulder.
Yeah. You hear Aria hears from Toby that Yvonne's in a medically induced coma and she's like
that was an option.
Can I learn more about this? Like, I can think of someone who could benefit.
And you know them.
It's a rust. It's just a little rust. And Toby's like, no, I already looked into it for her. She's not eligible. Well,
medically induced crate time is what we need.
That's what we need. Medically induced crate time. So Spencer is looking through a mail slot and like windows of whose house is this?
This is Mary Drake's. We're at the Lost Woods Resort. Mary Drake's apartment there. And all of her mail is piled up, you know, showing us that she's not been
so
around.
She's like, mommy? Mama? And no, she's not answering. So then we go to
Z's
loft. Aria has packed her bag. She is leaving. As she goes to leave, Z is at the door. Of
I
course.
Think Mike's Mike calls Z's loft the poverty loft.
Why? That's so funny, though.
I think just because he likes to refer to Ezra as like this like poor guy.
Even like, though he's like, he's canonically
he's,
super
he's
rich.
He's got family wealth, but like Z's like the guy who's
the
like.
The poverty loft is hilarious. I love that.
But this is so classic them where like they do, like he was probably waiting for her to open the door.
I know.
But Ari's got a suitcase. He comes in, they hug. It's very awkward. He sees the bag and he goes, and what's this all about?
And we look down and we see that she's wearing cheetah stilettos, cheetah print stilettos.
Caroline and I, once again, so different, did not notice it.
I can't believe you didn't, because if you had, it would have been written down and you would have been making fun of her. She's wearing cheetah print stilettos for moving day.
And her comfortable shoes.
Yeah, and he goes, what's this? I'm like, what do you think, Ezra? You literally have been gone. You didn't. She thought you were getting on a plane. She went to pick you up. You never showed.
And this
she couldn't. You didn't get on the plane. Then she looks on the news. You're kissing another
this
bitch.
Referring to Nicole as another bitch is so funny.
You're kissing
funny.
Some other bitch. You're new bitch.
You're acting like she he left for Colombia and then she turns on Love Island. It's Ezra Fitz. He's a bombshell on this season of Love Island and he's kissing another bitch.
Oh my God.
In the blindfold challenge.
In the speakeasy.
But here's what I'm curious about this dynamic. Aria, it's fucked up. Ezra's not telling her that they kissed.
Yeah.
It's also classic Aria to be holding the information that she so that she can weaponize it later down the line.
Yes. But I am like, well, they were just bothering me this episode because the whole time they're just like not addressing what's going on. I'm like, Ezra. You guys have shit to talk about before you're just going to pick up her bags and take them back upstairs. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it,
and
too.
Especially with how you act at the end.
Yes, knowing that you're basically 1 foot out the door. Like, why are you doing this to her? You know what I mean?
And to, obviously, I don't know. It's so complicated. But
it would
be less complicated if you would have a conversation with
Aria about
it. And
here's the deal. I'm sorry. I'm just going to, like, be fucking for real for a second. Nicole would understand, Ezra, if you were like, hey, you've been missing for a year and three. How long?
I don't know, but part of me, I know what you're saying. I agree that she will get there, but I think there's probably part of like, I'm sure there's a psychiatrist that's like, we need to make sure as much of her life feels somewhat normal so that we can ease her back into everything that's changed since she's been gone.
I guess
because she's probably so psychologically fucked up.
Right. But I'm just, I don't know. In my mind, I'm just like.
We found out that she has a bunch of broken bones that didn't heal properly. So they have to break them all again and reset them.
Crazy.
And Arya's like, okay, but like, that's just like, can you see how that's just not really my problem?
That's just the luck of the draw. Like, the, hey, that's just how the cookie crumbled this time. Okay. Sorry.
Everything happens for a reason.
Sounds like it hurts, but like, I was in the dollhouse if we forgot. Anyway, so Hannah and Caleb are at Lucas's loft, and the non-poverty loft, and Hannah's watching Caleb sleep and just pinches him multiple times to wake him up.
This is so Caroline.
I love it. She's like, I just thought it was so funny and cute. And he just immediately falls back into it, and she says, I'm just making sure you're real. And he wants to stay in bed all day, but Hannah wants to use that energy to go find Jenna.
And then she says what I've been saying all along, which I knew Hannah was going to think.
What?
Grunwald's rubbing off on her.
Yes, and that is the truth, though.
Maybe.
You don't think Hannah has powers?
I think her superpower is being Hannah.
That, you know what? True. So true. So anywho, Caleb is like, look, we're going to find Jenna, but I'm not taking any chances with you this time. It's time that Hannah worries about Hannah, and, it's like, the crowd erupts.
We've been saying that for 7 seasons.
We have been saying that, and I love to hear it. So then he pulls out the notebook of all of her fashion designs, and he says, there was a time that you wanted this so badly that it broke us up. And at first I was like, don't say that. Like, don't remind us about that. And Hannah has a reaction. She's like, I know, I'm sorry. And he's like, no. I'm saying, like, you need to... Like, I'm encouraging you to continue doing this. Let me worry about Jenna. And I thought it was sweet because she immediately goes into, like, that's never going to happen again. I swear, like, I'm not going to let this be the most important thing. And he's sort of, it's a moment of growth for him where he's like, no. Like, I'm going to be more the person who.
I'm the one who needs to change how I handle this.
Yes, I'm going to let, I want you to have what you want. You obviously want this so badly. Now I'm, like, fully in it. And that's that. And I just think it's such a good. Like, it's a small moment, but it's a really good moment for them as a couple.
I agree. So we go to Rosewood High School in the teacher's lounge, and we find out that Emily is going to be the varsity swim coach. And, oh, great, there were two openings. We didn't know this.
We didn't. Hey, we were not informed about
this.
Hey,
we didn't know this was an option.
No.
Because Paige is the athletic supervisor. And
crazy.
Allie also didn't know it was an option.
No.
Later on, she asks if they made the role for Paige.
Yes. So then Allie walks in, and Emily's like, you didn't answer any of my texts. She's like, didn't have time. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, Allie is like, oh, God. And she was at the doctor getting her pregnancy looked at, whatever. And Emily's like, why did you, I was supposed to go with you. And Allie's in her, this isn't your kid, Emily. Like, this is her bag. And she just feels like humiliated. She's like, I'm going to have the baby of a perfect stranger. That's what I found out at the
hospital. She goes, this is my nightmare, not yours. Yep. The way she says it, I was like, okay.
Well, you kind of created an ongoing nightmare.
You can't have both. Like, you can't be saying, I'm so alone, I'm so this, I'm all this. And then when someone's trying to show up for you, say, it's not your problem.
No, exactly. I like that Emily kind of stands up for herself in this episode. Like, we really needed to see that for once. And then Allie notices Paige and immediately is pissed, leaves, goes to class.
What is she doing here?
Literally,
and
she's so
Emily,
mad.
I do think it's, I am like, Em, you know they don't like each other, so why every time are you surprised when...
I know.
And she's like, oh, Paige? She's a new athletic supervisor.
Oh, Mose?
Isn't that rad?
You know, Mose went here. You remember Mose, right? She was like, with us.
Every time it's that energy.
Emily just says, like, maybe if I just play it cool, they'll both forget that. They'll be like, what? I guess if Emily's asking the school, nothing really happened. Like, is that what she thinks is going to happen? I don't know.
And Allie's like, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Arya's filling in Ezra on Toby and Yvonne. A deer is what hit them. Like, wow. Really? You guys have been, like, targeted by bloodthirsty monsters, but it's a deer that takes you out, huh?
Yeah.
Bummer. The benign indifference of the universe, huh?
Okay, Arya moment.
Anyway. So then Arya's like, so, about Nicole. Was she hurt? What do you think, Arya?
Even if she wasn't physically hurt, which there's a 100% chance she was.
Pretty much heartbroken now. Thanks for asking. She's heartbroken.
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
You had to write a fucking book about her.
Exactly.
Spencer texts Arya and says, SOS, barn now.
Hurry. I'm like, okay.
And then as soon as Arya gets there, she goes, okay, like, what couldn't you tell me over the phone?
And it turns out it was pretty serious. This would at least have been a FaceTime. So
all the girls are standing around this big black box with a bow on it, which is just perfect.
Yes.
And they hand a note to Arya and it says, it's playtime.
I thought this was going to be Noel's head. I was 100% sure they were going to open it and it was going to be Noel Khan's head. And it's like, what do we do with this? Did you not think that at all?
No, only because we know that the police, I've seen it before, obviously. I don't know what I thought
this
initially.
This is the first time Phoebe's ever acknowledged on her own that she has seen this
but
before.
I do think because the police, like, it's not like they're covering up what happened at the haunted house.
Right, right. So they think this confirms that Jenna and Noel were working for somebody else, or that they just like had another twisted scheme that was going on parallel to
and
A's scheme.
I do just want to give Emily some credit here, because she said this from the start.
Yeah.
She was like, guys, I know we don't like Shower, but she does, like, I do kind of believe what she's saying.
Yeah,
and
we're looking
for
the same person.
We were all kind of looking for the same thing, and we got in their way and they got in our way.
Yes.
And maybe, like, she was right. And the girls were like, whatever. Anyway, so, like, back to the Spencer,
to
like, what about Mary?
Right.
They're like, and
so what we've got here is a board game. It's called Liar's Lament, and it's a big map of Rosewood, and it says End game, bitches, and that. So I'm like, what is the name of the game? Is it Liar's Lament or is it End game? Because then they keep going back to this End game thing.
I think it's maybe End game : Liar's Lament.
Okay.
Like, if you were to get like Monopoly, but it's like
Pretty Little Liars
Charleston.
End game. That's really what this is. Did they ever make this game? Because they should have.
Oh, they should have.
That's such a miss.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You know who's obsessed with this game when the time comes?
Who?
Mona.
Oh, I believe that.
She loves it.
Oh my God. So Spencer's like, okay, well, Noel wouldn't be able to come up with this, stupid as fuck, and Jenna wouldn't be able to make it. She can't see. So, and Hannah's like, she's in the closet, remember? Not in that way, Emily.
Emily, she's
Emily.
Out. I know you don't want her to be gay, but she is.
Hey, Em, she's not an option. Okay. Come on. You have bad taste, actually. Mose is back and you're drooling. Like, come on. What the hell?
And I heard about Allie.
And I...
No offense.
And
it's
I
just like, you don't treat her well.
About I heard about Allie. I'm not going to tell you how, but I heard about Allie.
I bugged the place.
I bugged the place, of course. So the girls are trying to figure out what to do, and ultimately they have to play. I'm like, I love how Spencer's like itching. She's like, everyone's like, let's just not touch it. She's like, but what if we just played it just once? So what if we just
like
played it once?
Hannah wants to, quote, flambe the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody else is like...
Spencer's like, what if we beat it instead? what if we see how quickly we can beat it?
Which is maybe indicative of how me and Caroline would handle this.
100%. See, the thing is, like, you do, in the moments where I lean more Spencer, you fully step into your Hannah bag. Like, you are such a Hannah in the way that sometimes you say shit and it's like so funny and random, and like you don't realize it's funny until other people start laughing.
This is such an honor.
When I say things, I know that they're funny. I can like hear the roaring laughter before I've even said it. So yeah. And I can tell the decibel too. I know how funny it is. Anyway. So then we have Ari and Hannah talking about the engagement situation. And oh my God, Hannah's wearing pineapples in this episode.
Holy shit.
I know. And somebody messaged us and was like, okay, I really hate to say this. And I love when people do have to like correct moi.
Especially
because they
Gargoyle,
all enter
like,
the chat like
hey,
okay, and I'm tiptoeing in. They're like, hey, Caroline, you look really pretty in the latest episode. Just wanted to say. No, it's funny though. I promise. I did notice that. I was like, when anytime someone who like really likes us, they're like, and Caroline's going to be yelling about this in the next episode, so I better just like say it as nicely as I can. I just hate being wrong. But someone did message us pictures of Hannah and pineapples on two different occasions. And I know last episode I said she wouldn't be in them. And I obviously don't stand by that anymore. I was proven wrong. But I think I felt more like it was a shock for Emily to be in them. But I guess like throughout history, I could see Hannah wearing pineapples, but not in this episode.
Yeah. And not
they
how
they must
she's
have been so hot at the time.
Because I think they were. Because
back to back episodes, we have.
And
both
I think
of them.
We kind of had pineapple blindness because we grew up going to the beach in Charleston,
yeah,
where there are pineapples on everything.
And I did have a pineapple skirt that I fucking loved. It was from Ann Taylor Loft, which is kind
wow.
of crazy. I don't get stuff from there, but it was so cute. And I'm not kidding you. I saw a picture. Okay, so a girl I went to high school with, she posted all these photos and her mother was wearing the skirt. And it was like this gorgeous, like not a mustard yellow, but like a really perfect
it.
Yellow with...
Like white and black.
Yeah,
pineapples
big
on.
Pineapples on it. It was this long maxi skirt. And it was so cute. And I literally commented, I was like, I have to have that skirt. And I had this excellent outfit that I'm just going to like remember right now because I loved it. It was that skirt with like a black cropped tee. And then I'd bring a denim jacket to have over. And then my Adidas Superstars and Bobby socks.
Yeah.
With the little lace ruffles. And I just had my little bob and I looked adorable. It was a really good outfit for me. That was but I did take it from somebody's classic mother.
Caroline Connell era.
That was a classic.
Bob Caroline was different.
I know.
We have this amazing picture of Caroline from when she was working at Taco Diablo at the time.
And it's not an amazing picture.
It's when she had like just gotten her bob freshly bobbed.
Well, by the way, okay, stop it. I didn't like that haircut.
Yeah, but it was your bob era.
I know, but that was me trying to like recreate a moment in time that I could no longer access. Because like when I first got my bob, I was like, this rules. And then but they were like two different lengths kind of because it was like a lob, whatever.
Mm.
And then I was in a show and I was like, they were like, your hair needs to be all the same length. Like you need to like cut your hair. You can't have like a trendy haircut. So they were like, you need to go get a haircut. And I got to miss stage crew lab hours. They like wrote me a note. They're like, Caroline's in the show that's opening this week. We need her to get a haircut. So I got to not go. Woo! But they liked me anyway. So that was great. And so I went to get this haircut and it was like the best haircut I have ever gotten. Like, and I remember the place that I went, it was called Urban Nirvana. It's still in Charleston, but this location isn't. It was downtown. And you could choose like the like level of your stylist. And since it was like the week that I was doing the show, I was like, it needs to be good. So I like got one of the higher stylists and they were like, yeah, I've cut Gigi Hadid's hair, like all the, and it was crazy. They were like, it was so fun. And the haircut was unbelievably good. And I felt so good about myself. And so then I wanted that again. And I came home and I let it grow out after that. And I tried to come get it again. And they fucking botched it. And literally somebody told me that it looked like steps on the back of my head.
I never noticed that.
And then I was like, okay, then I need to go get it cut again. So then I went and got it cut again. I was like, make it all one length. Cut it to the shortest layer. I don't care. And that's when this picture was taken. And you can tell. Because I have one piece of hair. Dad came to the bar and took a photo of me. Like, I'm like, did he think I looked cute or was he making fun of me?
No, he thought you looked cute.
Okay. Then I was like, oh, like, I'm like, okay, I love the picture.
That was such a fun era of life when you worked at Taco Diablo and we would just go down there.
I know. It was a fun era in life because it was like the limbo in between college and like being a full adult.
Listen, I live for mullets. Love it. Yeah. But there are days.
You miss it.
Where I would cut off a limb for the loaded potato taco.
Oh, that or
the brisket, those nachos.
No, it was so good. And it was so fun working there too. It was so fun. I mean, those were it was like 2019.
It was like right before the pandemic.
2018, 2019. I directed that fucking show at the high school. And I was like working five jobs and it wasn't like real life. Like it was just, and you were in high school still.
Yeah, but then I worked there the summer before I went to college when it was still taco.
And Lil was in middle school probably.
Yeah.
And we were all under one roof again. Crazy. And I just started dating Anthony.
Wild.
So he was like around, and we were so into Bachelor at the time.
Yeah.
And I worked at Coffee Tree, IO, and Taco Diablo.
And you nannied.
And nannied. Oh, yeah. And I was nannying. I was making Sadie go with me to every, I made her go with me to the school all the time. We had to go to the school, and I had to go to the Home Depot across the street and rent a truck. And she had to sit in the front seat. She was like little. And I was like, and we're going to load all this lumber into the school together. And she thought it was awesome. I have these pictures we took of us in the back of the pickup truck, like, like with all the lumber. I'm like, what? This girl, she really went through a lot with me.
So fun.
Anyway,
so these girls are also going through a lot.
All this to say, Hannah's wearing pineapples.
Hannah is like, wait, Ezra will be fine. You guys, have you heard what the fans are saying? You guys are in game.
You guys are in game.
Just if you guys can get through an illegal relationship in high school, you
can literally
anything,
get through.
Which
get
is also what Holden thinks later.
Yeah, it is what he thinks later. And so anyway, Aria is not sure if Ezra's told Nicole about them. And Hannah's like, well, you know what? You should just plan this wedding.
I really like what she said.
I love this advice. She's like, listen, he's going to be a little bit in psychosis for a little bit. Plan this wedding and have it waiting for him because he is going to be ready and so excited to marry you. So let's just. And I like that Hannah's like, and I'm going to be here. Like, even you would think this would be something where Hannah would be like, this is really painful for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, not that she's not happy with Caleb, but like, I don't know. It just seems like something that.
Well, it's just close to when she was.
Yeah.
She was doing this for herself.
And she's got other shit going on.
This is what she's got that. She and Hannah and Amaya have like. They're the friend that you want because they're not the kind of friend who hears something good happening in your life and is secretly like harboring resentment towards you for it.
Exactly.
Like they are genuinely excited. Like Amaya getting Shelly ready for the hideaway.
It was so cute.
Like, she was like, there was no, like, I kind of wish.
But also, you could think that, like, with getting into Love Island, you could think that with Amaya and Ace's past, that Amaya could be like, I'm not going to, like, root for you guys. Amaya was the first person to say they should be the ones to go in the hideaway. Like, her apologizing to Ace. And I also thought the way that she, like, has Huda's back, but also she, like, holds you accountable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she really is, like, universally a good friend, and she can see things for what they are, and people discount her constantly because she's funny or goofy or silly or whatever.
She doesn't say things quite the way that they want her to or expect her to.
Exactly. And you know what I loved? Okay, so, and we'll talk about it later, but on last night's episode, or the other night, oh no, it was after Sun, they all get in the beach hut and they have to say like three things they love about each other. What are the three qualities you like about each other, whatever, and every couple does it. And Amaya and Brian come in, and Brian's like, I love how, I think he said like how sensitive she is, how nurturing she is. And I think he said like funny or something. And then she said protective, which I loved. And then she also said confident. And like, he just looks at her and is like smiling. And like, there's no like, I was like studying him. I was like, is he going to give like a look like he knows that's not how you say it, or like something like that, because it's obviously just her accent, but it's like so funny. She's like confident, and he just was like, and I was just like, it's so sweet, where I feel like that would have been a moment that some
Ace
guy might
or Austin
like,
would have rolled their eyes,
yes, or like looked at the camera like, you know what I mean? I don't know, it's just sweet.
Anyway. I love them, but she like, we've been saying it since the start that she is so Hannah coded.
Look for the Amayas and the Hannahs, like those are the people that are really going to be great friends 100%. To you, and they're constantly undermined, like people don't think they're going to be what they are.
So we go to the De Laurentiis dungeon, and Allie is, she's been seething about Paige all day.
Oh my God.
Imagine being here. Imagine being a student who like is late to class this
day.
Oh
my God, Phoebe. No, that is, what are you doing? What have you been doing in the halls? I bet I know. Did you see it? The new athletic department supervisor. And did she try to talk to you in the hall? So you'd be late to my class. You're getting written up. And so is she. Allie like writes up Moe's. She's like, and for some reason, Moe's is talking to students, making them late to my class. Moe's is like, I haven't been in the school yet today.
And so Allie asks Emily's here too.
Allie's grilling.
Allie's
Emily.
Like, so did you like ask for this job to be made for
Paige? Did you guys come up with this position for Paige? Did you ask the school to hire her? Like, how else would she have been hired? And I'm like, well, Allie, how the fuck were you hired? Like, not that I'm having Moses back,
but like, how did you graduate high school?
How did you
have a degree at the same pace that all your friends do?
And then this is crazy, because then Allie's like, and here I am, pregnant, stalked, broke, alone. And Emily gets mad. She's like, you're not alone. Like, you have me. I won't leave you alone. Like, how dare you? She gets so pissed. And that's that moment.
And then we go to what I think is Reeve Ghosh.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
And Mona's checking on Hannah, who is going over her portfolio, working on her sketches. And they're talking, and Mona's basically like, let's get you out there.
Yeah, there's like a Philadelphia design up-and-comer competition. And Mona's like, you should enter. And Hannah's like, who is Hannah Marin?
I'm like, everything.
Everything to us. And Mona goes, well, if you dress the right person, you don't need a resume. Like, you just need to trust me. I'm going to figure this out. So Mona is on the case.
I am a little bit like, I understand that we needed to get to this point later with their friendship, where they have this conversation.
But the storyline is kind of like, why?
But also Hannah's frustration with Mona later.
I completely agree.
I was like, I don't know if.
I'm like, chill.
It's clear that the girl was just like the boss lady.
Yeah.
Because
like,
Mona introduced you to.
Because like, Mona like handled this whole thing
when
and
Caleb
like arranged
says,
the meetings.
When Caleb goes, it seems like Mona's trying to run you off the label. I'm like
what? And no, I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, it's still Hannah's designs. Like, Mona wasn't even here for this meeting.
She's
like,
going to tag Hannah.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? And like, who cares? Honestly, you should have Mona as your agent and manager.
I would buy from Vanderwall and Marin.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I bet you Mona would be like, don't put my name on it. Let's just have it be Marin. But I just want to like run the business side of it.
Exactly.
Like, that's all she's doing. It's like a nice, I know, I totally am with you.
So, I loved this line. Mona goes, Han, do you trust me? And Hannah goes, sometimes. And Mona says, make this one of those times.
I love it. So we have Spencer and Detective Floozy.
The way Spencer is sitting in this scene makes it look like it's a student teacher conference and they're talking about like an essay.
No, you're right. It does seem like that. And Detective Fear, what does he say? He's like, you should go visit Toby or something.
Well, he's like, so have you like talked to Toby? I feel like he's like a little bit weird about their relationship.
I know.
Which makes sense, I guess.
And she's like, look, the last thing he needs is an ex-girlfriend messing with his life. I could have thrown the remote at the TV. Hey, Spencer, haven't you already done that? Like, that's the last thing he needs.
It's probably why you crashed
the
car.
Last thing that he needs. Like, you just walked into his life and kissed him on the mouth and he's engaged. Like, right before he left town just to confuse and fuck with him. Like, what do you mean that's the last thing that he needs? You already did it. Why do you care now when
Literally.
You're in front of the guy that you're fucking? You're like, oh, well, I don't want you to think there's anything between us, even though I thought it was weird.
It was a little weird. And then Floozy asks if she knew that Jenna and Noel knew Archer before, like, while he was still Dunhill, but also, like, he's learned now that maybe they knew more
mm-hmm.
than they previously thought. And she's like, no, of course not. And then she's like, do you still think that he's, like, in France? And he says, well, I think there's someone in France. I'm not entirely sure that it's him anymore.
Right. At which point he pulls Jenna's gun out of the desk and he's like, so do you recognize this gun? And this is, I think, crazy. First of all, it was a dark, they literally turned the lights off in the house. And now you're showing her this gun. Like, there was a lot happening. She was shot. The gun's in a plastic bag. You're like, do you recognize this gun? I mean, it just looks like a gun. Like,
I mean, and I've never been shot.
Well, we know you haven't.
But I'm like, I don't think I would be able to, and I certainly probably wouldn't be able to remember, but even if I was being shot, I don't think I would clock.
Yeah, like the view of the gun when I'm like staring down the barrel is not the same as like from the side in a bag on the table. You know what I mean?
I'd be like, I don't know, it's a gun.
And yeah, exactly. I'm Marco? Like, it's like, I guess I recognize it as the gun that shot me.
I
like, sure.
Allie's little slight to Spencer when they were talking initially, where they're like, should we take it to the police? And Allie goes, well, Spencer's on a first name basis with Detective Fury, so maybe you should take it.
Spencer does like keep herself on a first name basis with people in the police department. Okay.
She's like, Toby's engaged. When I got back to town, I had to have a cop in our pocket. I was hoping we could rekindle me and Toby, but he's engaged. And I tried kissing him. It didn't work.
And
Arya's idea.
And hey, I'm respectful of that. I'm respectful of his engagement.
I mean, and I told Arya it was a stupid idea.
Yeah, totally. So Spencer is like, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the gun that shot me. And he's like, but are you certain that you saw this gun in Jenna's hand? Like, no, like, of course not.
And
who would say
and
yes?
Especially not now.
I know. And he goes, because this is a 45 and Spencer, you were shot with a 22. There are two guns. One is missing. And so is Jenna. And so is Mary. I'm like, okay, so I'm confused then. So what are you saying? Like, what? So then we go to Ari and Hannah.
Saying these two dangerous people. Still, there's still a gun.
There's
out
still
there.
A gun out there. And yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Arya and Hannah are looking at wedding venues. And I have to say, this venue we're looking at does not feel Arya at all.
It has a barn. I feel like that Hannah Googled barn venues and was yeah. like, let's just look at all
but
these.
But like everything in there, I was just like, none of this feels no. like an Arya wedding, but whatever. And she's like, Hannah's like, okay, well, this seems like it's a great venue. Like, it's a one-stop shop. We can get this done. And Arya's like, did you read the fine print? You need to read the fine print. It's like, how about you read the fucking fine print? You're the one who's getting married. Right? Why are you acting like you're on Arya's side?
I'm not. I just.
Oh my God, are you on Arya's side right now?
I heard her say it in more of like a. I don't think she meant it in that way.
I don't think she did either, but I'm still like.
I think she
can
was.
Can you
like,
imagine? Wouldn't no, she be like, wait, well, no, okay, well, I not. Need to read the fine print.
I think she was like. Did you, like Hannah's holding the pamphlet, and I think Arya is just like trying to drop hints that like she's not super into this.
Oh, maybe. I'm just like. It's
not,
just so classic Arya.
I think she's being
to
weird
make
about
Hannah
the
do
whole
that.
Wedding thing.
Well, yeah, of course. Until, of course, an old flame walks in. At this point, Holden walks in. Remember Holden? He's the guy with the heart condition. They let you know this right away because he makes a joke about having a heart attack and Arya's heart falls out of her chest. I totally forgot about him. This is his sister's business and he's a chef now. And he's like, so who's the lucky guy? And I'm like, this is so funny.
Especially with the context of their friendship.
I know. That's why it's funny.
They were, but it would be funny also if you like, if you ran into someone from high school who you were like, it was always kind of weird, had a weird relationship with a
yeah.
teacher.
And, yeah. And then you find out they're together and they're getting married. Also, like, I think it's crazy Holden wasn't in the recap at all.
That's true.
Like, you need to refresh our memory before you just bring this guy in. It's been, like,
they
four
wanted us
seasons.
To be floored. They
like,
wanted us to be floored.
I didn't really remember exactly who he was.
At first, I was like, wait, is that Alex?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Hair,
he looks different.
The hair is the same.
At first, I thought it was one of the Naked Brothers from the Naked Brothers band.
I thought it was one
like
of
them.
The Naked Brothers from the from the titular Naked Brothers
yeah,
band.
Yeah, I did. But I just think it's crazy they weren't like, hey, you should remember this guy. I don't know. They just expect you. You think he made that much of an impression on me? He didn't.
Wow.
No, he did. I mean, but this was the guy you all remember that Arya went on dates with so that he could go do his like taekwondo, which she wasn't allowed to do because of his heart condition, and she could go be with her teacher.
Right.
Mm.
Which is still crazy that he didn't like tell the police then and there.
No, I know. So she tells him that it's Ezra, and he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to give you the tour myself. Let's go.
And then we go to the Radley, and Mona is waiting.
Nope, we're the teacher's lounge.
Oh, right. Emily comes up to Mrs. Horowitz and goes,
this is so funny.
Hey, so I saw...
Wait, no, you missed the hilarious part. She goes, Mrs. Horowitz?
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, please call me Pam. She goes, I'll try. I'm like, that is so Emily. And it's hilarious because later, Allie goes, Pam. And I'm like, that is her name Pam?
I think it's May.
May. Sorry. But Pam, I can tell by your reaction that, oh, yeah, duh. But she's like, please call me May. I'll try. And then Allie's like, May. And it's just, like, so classic. But I'm like, that is so us. Like, I still have parents who are like, can you, like, please, God, call me by my first name. I'm like, I honestly know.
Please, God, let me just tell you, call you what my parents tell me to call you.
It's easier for me to call you this. Thank you. Just please don't make this harder for me.
I'll get in trouble when
I'll get in trouble. Thank you.
So, Emily is like, Mrs. Horowitz.
This is crazy.
So, I saw the committee list, and I see that you put Paige McCullers and Allison DeLaver. I also love that it's full names.
Emily, you're not their keepers. This is, like...
You put Paige McCullers and Allison New Laurentis on the same committee, and do you really think that's a good idea?
And she goes, oh, well, Paige volunteered, which at that moment I'm like,
okay, uh-huh. Paige, you fucking psycho.
Okay, this is, okay. And Emily's like, okay, so now that I know that, it's even more of a bad idea. And then Paige walks in and is like, oh, Emily's just hesitating because Allie and I had some beef in high school, but the past is the past and we're going to be great. Like, there's no conflict at all. And then she looks at Emily and she's like, you don't have to protect me from Allie. And if you thought you had to protect Allie from me, you're not paying attention.
Paige.
Okay, Allie, you tried to kill me. That's what I wanted Emily to say.
How about I want to be protected from the both of you?
The both of you.
We go back to the venue, and Hannah left to go meet Mona, and Holden's going to take Aria home, and then they just keep talking about the wedding.
He's, like, trying to ask her, like, easy logistical questions about the wedding. She can't answer a single one, so...
So we go to the, this is when we go to the Radley. Mona's waiting for Hannah and introduces her to Senator Daly's daughter, Catherine. And Hannah voted for Senator Daly.
Mm.
And she's going to style him, or her, the daughter.
And she's going to style her. She's doing a fundraiser for her dad. So they're going to meet at Hannah's studio.
Which is, Mona says, you'll just meet at Hannah's studio.
And Hannah's like, the studio? And Mona's like, yep, your studio. And Hannah's like, perfect. Because you know Hannah's like, Mona will figure this out. But also, like, the loft, yeah, it totally works.
Exactly. We go to the Hastings Castle. Spencer comes home to see, because, okay, Vivi. It's been a week since your daughter was shocked.
You're just now getting
home. I thought it was crazy even yesterday when Spencer goes, I'll talk to my mom about it all tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was like,
she wasn't on the first flight.
And I don't believe
Daddy Hastings is still not gone? Back. Oh my God.
And like, this really isn't helping for the conversation y'all are about to have.
No. And Vivi's like, Spencer. If I'm Spencer, I'm like, save it. So
save it.
Who the fuck even are you? Save it.
My mom? Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. So Spencer and Vivi hug, and like Vivi hurts her shoulder.
Spencer goes, ah, you're hurting me.
Spencer's being very cold. And Vivi's like, so what the heck happened? And Spencer fills her in.
On everything since, like, the Archer stuff.
Yes, as fast as she can. She tells about Archer, Noel, Jenna, Allison, all of it. And then Vivi's like, well, how are you? And Spencer goes, that's going to depend on the next few minutes. At which point.
You want a glass of wine?
Yeah, exactly. She says the name Mary Drake. And Vivi's like, where is she? Like, Vivi, I mean, if you wanted to seem like this wasn't the truth or whatever for even a moment, Vivi, you failed, because your reaction to hearing the name Mary Drake told me everything I needed to know.
And Spencer's so funny. She goes, Mary is temporarily unaccounted for.
Oh my God.
And Spencer tells Veronica what, I've never called her Veronica a day in my life.
And don't start now.
Spencer tells Vivi what Mary Drake said, and it's silent for a second.
Vivi's like, huh.
And Spencer goes,
now would be
great time for a denial.
And Vivi's like, look, okay, Mary Drake is clinically insane, but she doesn't deny it.
And Spencer says, that's not a denial.
So then Vivi fills her in. So here's what happened, everybody.
I'm so glad you wrote this down. I knew you would.
Yeah, well, you can count on me. Justy knocked on the door one day, and she was like, look, I have to tell you guys, I have a sister. She goes, she knocked on the door as neighbors do, and they need to borrow a cup of sugar or her a husband. So good.
I do love that even through telling the story that is going to alter the trajectory of Spencer's life.
Yeah. She's like, a little jig in there.
All the snark she can pack in.
It's so Hastings. So she's like, Jesty, knock on the door. She said that she had a sister, a twin sister, and that the sister had problems. And I didn't understand why Jess was telling me this. And then Jess told me that Mary was pregnant and that they knew who the father was. It was Daddy Hastings.
Can you believe it?
He was in a restaurant, thought he was meeting Jessica, and Jessica walked in, but it was fucking Mary.
I don't think that he thought they were meeting. Oh. I think that she just walked in and then they had another hookup.
Okay.
And Spencer, what's killing me about this whole thing is that Spencer is most floored that Veronica stayed with
Peter. Which I kind of love. Spencer goes, Dad did this to you again and you let him. You were a part of it. Like, and that is where it's like, she just wants to be like, fucking love yourself. Like, what the hell? Like, it is. And then Vivi's like, listen, like we had built something together. Like we had a family. I couldn't stand the thought of that baby disappearing. And so I spoke to Judge Khan and we made arrangements. And Spencer's like, I don't know how you stay with this man. And that's when she's like, well, we have Melissa and you. And then we get the flashback to the day that Spencer was born. And I do have to say.
And she's in a top hat.
She's in a fedora and a trench coat. One thing though, Vivi has red nail polish in this flashback. And then she has red nail polish again later. And I'm like, that's a mistake because Vivi is not wearing red nail polish often enough for me to think she had it on the day that she got Spencer. And again, in this episode.
Fair enough.
Like, come on, take it off her nails.
Because Spencer's like, were you there? Were you close by when I was born? And she says, there were 5 minutes you were in the world before I first held you.
Yeah. So it's like a thundery night. And it's that night that we saw the man in the trench coat and the fedora take the baby who was also in a trench coat and a fedora.
Yeah, it's the night the truth was revealed.
Yeah, he just brings the baby to Vivi. And so when Vivi says, you were in this world 5 minutes before I first held you, Spencer goes, yeah, but you're not my mother.
And I'm like, Spencer.
Vivi's like, no, I am. And then Spencer gets upset and leaves the room.
Well, this is where I'm like, Spencer, we're being, it's a little like, I don't know. It's a little much because Vivi's like, I'm your mom. You know that. And Spencer goes, I don't know anything anymore.
I mean, I guess I would be crashing out. And so would
absolutely.
You.
But I do think that like,
for all intents and purposes, though, Vivi is your mom. It's just like if you were someone who was adopted and you knew you were adopted, like although your birth mom is your birth mom, your mother is the person who has raised you every day of your life, provided for you, helped you become who you are. Like, you know, the nature versus nurture argument is there, but like all of the nurturing was Vivi.
Right.
So it is, you know.
Oh, crazy scene. We go to Rosewood Times Square. Holden's dropping Aria off. And Z comes by as though he wasn't going to text Aria, call Aria, say anything to Aria about leaving.
He's in a rush.
He's only telling Aria what he is about to tell her because they run into each other.
Which, by the way, Holden's like, so I was thinking about you the other day and then I saw you on TV. So, like, he's aware of what's up, which is when Ezra shows up. And she's like, oh, you remember Holden? He's like, yeah, I got to get to New York. Nicole's parents called me. They need me back up there. If I'm Aria, I'm like, excuse me, Holden. Hey, we need to fucking talk before you just go to, how long are you going to be gone? Are you ever going to come back? Why did you bring my packed bags up to the room and unpack them? Now I have to pack them again to leave you.
And also, it's like, is this part of trying
to make things feel normal for her? But she's in a psych, like, she's in a facility.
No, but what I mean is that, like, I do think that's what's happening. But my issue is, Ezra, you guys needed to have a conversation, like, if this was going to be what it's like you need to be in New York X amount of time, you needed to come back and have a conversation with Aria instead of just leaving.
And this was going to be part of it. Exactly. And like, you probably knew that. Like, you coming back the first time you came back, it should have been, hey, let's have dinner.
You've been back for a night.
Let me explain to you sort of like what's happened. And I'm going to pray to God that my fiance, who I love and who I've been with forever, is going to be understanding of the situation, because on paper, Aria would be understanding about something like this. Like, the person that she thinks she is would be understanding about this.
And but so, like, the Aria that we've come to know
is, of course, not. But she would at least fake it, I think, for him. And I think he should know that. And I'm just like, it should have been a conversation where here's everything that happened. And moving forward, like, there are going to be some expectations of me. And I feel like I need to just be there. And then that way I can ease her back into life, let her know about us. And you and I will be good. But, like, I just think, you know what I mean? They just botched this completely.
He kisses her on the cheek.
I would be a puddle on the ground. Like, I don't know what I would be. I'd be freaking the fuck out.
And Ezra walks away and Holden's like, who's Nicole?
And Aria's like, this is always what I wanted to answer about my fiance when I just toured a wedding venue and you asked me who the other bitch is that he's going to see. So Hannah is, we're doing the fitting. We're at Lucas's loft. She's giving the clothes to the senator's daughter to try on. Caleb's there. And it's going so great. Her name's Katie. She's thrilled. And she's leaving and she's like, okay, have the boss lady call me and we'll work out the details and text me your IG handle. I'll tag you. Which, like, she's leaving. I'm like, this is a total win. Like, this is a win for Hannah. There's nothing to be upset about here unless you're self-sabotaging. I don't know what you would be mad about. I really felt that way.
I agree. And Caleb is like, once she leaves, Hannah's smile falls and Caleb's like, it kind of sounds like Mona is trying to push you off the label.
What? I don't know about that.
Me either.
So we go to the school.
This is an amazing scene.
We're having a meeting about parents and teachers connecting on social media. I honestly should have just gotten the script for this so we could have done a dramatic reading because this is verbatim. It's just too good to be botched.
Paige is taking the lead on this very heavily.
I like how Emily has joined this committee. So this committee is the one that she was concerned about Paige and Allie being on together with May, Mrs. Horowitz. That's her name, right?
Yeah.
And then Emily has now joined it and is sitting between them. And the look of distress that is on her face this entire scene, I'd be like, do you need to go to the nurse? Like, do you need a sick day? Because you seem unwell, actually, Emily. So Allie bites immediately. And she goes, wow, you're really pushing your personal comfort zone doing this. Some of us here remember what you used to be like. To Mose.
And then she looks at Mrs. Horowitz and is like, I mean, you remember.
I don't know if someone really said this, but I wrote down, Allie, are you really doing this in front of a teacher? There's somebody else here. You work here. Why are you doing this? This is not a good look.
As far as to say, you remember all that pent up aggression.
And she brings the other teacher into the conversation. She's like, I'm sorry. You remember, right? It was more than team spirit, right? Like, crazy. Then Mose goes, well, I bet Mrs. Horowitz, also calls her Mrs. Horowitz, which I thought was a funny detail, remembers you too. Pretty unforgettable. Allie goes, thank you.
Immediately.
I was like, oh. And this is how I
know Paige is out of her league because that interaction happens. Allie says, thank you. Without missing a beat. And Paige does take a second. She goes, not a compliment. I'm like, okay, that's not an adequate answer to the artistry that was thank you.
Pretty unforgettable. Thank you.
Like, immediate.
I was laughing so hard. It was so good. And then May is like, maybe we should have a break. And Allie goes, sure, Paige needs a break. I understand her being a little overwhelmed. And Emily goes, stop it! I'm like, Emily, okay, now you need a fucking chill. Like, this is crazy, Emily.
Emily flips the table.
Yeah! Emily rips her hair out in clumps. She's like, I need a red velvet cupcake. Sabrina, get in here. Red velvet me. opens her mouth.
We find out Sabrina's been outside the whole time.
Yeah, she jumps in through the window, shoves a red velvet cupcake in Emily's mouth, and was like, okay, where were we? Oh my God, that so fucking funny. Stop it! Like, if I'm the teacher, I'm like, you're all fired. Like, I don't have the authority to fire you all, but you're all, don't come back.
So fucking funny. Still can't get over thank you.
Thank you. Oh, it's so good. And the eye cut. And I'm just like, Mose, what were you thinking? Allie's never going to lose a verbal altercation or probably physical.
Well, against Paige, against Pigskin.
maybe. But Allie's going to take her down on the inside so much so that she has no strength left. Like, she's like, I'm just so depleted. I don't even want to fight. I'm just like, you know what? You're right, Allie. You know what I mean? Allie's gifted. Yeah. Oh, I want to go to Allie De Laurentiis and Blair Waldorf finishing school.
It was so Blair. The thank you was very Blair coded.
Sure. If she's a little overwhelmed. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Let's take a break. Oh, it's so fucking good. I did realize in the last episode, I think it was, I listened to some of it and my Allie is getting good. Not in this episode. I'm not doing well, but
it's always been good.
The last one was good though. I feel like finally season 7, we're hitting it. Anyway, so Spencer's alone in the barn and she gets a text. Would you like to get closer to your mother? Play the game. Don't have to tell her twice.
AD is having the same thing that Spencer is doing. They're both like fiending. Yeah. A is like, when are they going to play the fucking game?
It's giving euphoria. Rue with like the Jolly Rancher. Like Spencer trying not to touch that fucking game.
And that's also AD like waiting. AD is like, okay, how soon is too soon to send the first text to get one of them to play? Like, what's desperate? Yeah.
Her deciding whose house to send it to. She's like, oh, it needs to live in Spencer's barn. It needs to be in Spencer's barn when Spencer is the only person in there. I need that to be the situation. So she drinks her wine, goes to the box, turns it on. And you have to like put the phone. I'm like, okay, this is an expensive game. Comes with an iPhone. Put the iPhone in the middle of the game and it says truth or dare. Almost chooses truth. Chooses dare instead. visit a sick friend, get a reward, Toby's photo on the thing. She has to go visit him. So she wastes no time at all.
She's there immediately. And she...
I am like, okay, I'm going to keep playing though. Like after, I'm like, okay, what's next? Like I would be so into this. I'd be like, the other girls especially need to get here so we can all play.
With the way the thing comes out, I'm like, wait.
It's really... Hannah, immediately when the thing came out...
I was like, okay, let's break this open.
Yeah, exactly. My immediate thought. But then I was like, oh, it'll probably blow up. Like something will happen.
Something tragic will happen if I try that.
Yeah.
So we go to the hospital. She sees Toby. They hug. And she's like, hey, I meant to call. And he's like, I was good.
She's like, I was shot, so I didn't. Why didn't you call?
I see you have a perfectly capable
two
arms.
Yeah, you look fine to me. You look actually really built and hot. Do you want a kiss? So they catch up about what happened to each of them. And she's like, how is Yvonne? He's like, not good. And he's totally blaming himself. And he says, maybe this town, they're talking about how like Rosewood just keeps people here. And he goes, maybe this town has to disappear before we can leave. I said, okay, bomb it then. Okay, what does that mean?
Okay,
this
fine.
Town has to disappear before you can leave? That's not going to happen. Towns don't just disappear.
I think you guys are going to have to disappear.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to go.
Into
and
six,
then she quotes Gatsby.
Under.
Did you catch it?
Well, I only wrote what she said. She wrote, maybe.
What did she write? What did you write?
She wrote, maybe.
No, that's not a Gatsby quote.
What? I know.
She wrote, so he beat on.
Oh.
Boats against the current. And then I wrote the rest of it without even having a look. Born back ceaselessly into the past.
You guys know, that just made up for any moment I've ever had that was Aria. By the way. If you guys
I'm
were
sorry,
curious.
If you don't have the last sentence of the Great Gatsby memorized, did you go to 11th grade English?
Yeah.
You don't know the last sentence of that book?
No.
I feel like everyone does. It's like so famous. So we beat on.
It's so famous for people who
boats
majored in English.
The current, born back ceaselessly into the past. Mm. It's a beautiful quote, though. You think about it. It's true. And it's what they're doing. They're beating on boats against the current, but they can't help it.
Certain,
they are pushed back ceaselessly.
Certainly boats against the current.
Into the past. They can't. The waves aren't going to let them go all the way.
Mm-mm.
Same with Gatsby. Ever heard of it?
Well, yes. And also with Spencer and Toby, something tells me they're just going to keep.
Oh, that green light is on.
Oh,
the green
for both
light.
Of them.
Also, I just sent Phoebe. Don't tell anybody. I just sent Phoebe the script to John Proctor is the villain. The show that Sadie Sink is in on Broadway right now. The play. It's so fucking good. And Green Light by Lord is a huge piece in it. And they have this like whole conversation. It's like honestly, it's like an English major's dream play because they're literally like they're talking about the Crucible and Gatsby. And half of the show takes place in an English classroom. It's gorgeous.
And Taylor's a big part of it, too, right?
She's not that big of a part of it, but she, like, they mention her a few times. But Lord, the song is definitely, like, they play the entire song.
Love it.
Like, it is in the stage directions at the end that the entire song has to play. And the stage directions say, like, it's worth it, I promise. Like, it needs, this is how this has to happen. The song has to play. This has to be happening on stage. And you need the entire song to get to the point that we needed to get. And, like, I was like, that is, I'm just love with that song being, like, celebrated that way because it is just but I'm also glad this play came out after my wedding because I don't know that I would have wanted it to be my last song of my wedding if I had it in my head even though it was the perfect last song of my wedding.
Yeah, it was great.
Anyway,
we go to the De Laurentiis dungeon and Emily is like, okay, what was that?
Yeah Emily's so mad at Allie.
She says
this is the part of you I hate.
I love
whoa
I love how she says this line though because she goes, we were in the teacher's lounge, not the cafeteria before homeroom.
For homeroom.
Like, Canadians, what the hell?
So what the hell? So funny.
And then
but I thought I was really proud of Emily
she goes,
for saying
are
that.
You afraid of Paige or do you just want a familiar punching bag?
Yeah. She goes, when someone gets close, it makes you itch. So you swap people away like bugs. Why do we have to keep showing you that we love you?
She says that after though. When Emily says you swap people away like bugs,
mm-hmm.
Allie turns around and starts going through her mail and she goes, ugh, go away.
I missed that. That's so go away.
And
she turned around and started swatting with the mail.
And that's when Emily goes, how long do we have to keep showing you that we
I'm
love
like, proud
you?
Of Emily, even though I do feel like Emily's had a few of these moments now. I'm like, this is the rest of your life. No wonder. Sorry, spoilers, no wonder they got divorced from perfectionist. Like this isn't healthy. Anyway, Allie's like, I'm pissed at my life. It's a steaming hot mess. And Emily goes, everyone's is. And at least everyone in your life, Allie, like, and kind of, sorry, because of you. Mm-hmm. If they never met you, their lives might be fine. Just saying. But okay. Allie's mad that Emily has real memories with Paige and none of Allie's memories feel real. And then Emily's like, so the kiss the other night, like.
Why did you kiss me?
Did you want to or you didn't want me to leave?
And Allie goes, I don't know. And Emily says, please don't kiss me again.
Not until you know. And I kind of wish that she hadn't said not until you know. Please don't kiss me again. Like, that would have eaten.
I like the emphasis on no, though.
Not until you know. I know, but it's like, it just leaves that door open for Allie to know that, like, it's not that I don't want to kiss you. I want to be with you, but I want you to know. And it's like, I kind of feel like, hey, Emily, if you want Allie to want you, you would need to say, don't ever kiss me again. And she would have been like, but I want you right now. My lips are so dry. Please, can we kiss? Like, you know what I mean? I feel like that leaving that open was like, and I'll be waiting for you. You know what I mean? And I hate that, but I get it.
We go to Lucas's loft. Mona comes in. Hannah's pissed about the thing. And Mona says, I mean, I didn't tell her I was your boss. Maybe it's just my aura of authority and knowledge.
I'm like, okay, I understand. Hey, I get it. It happens all the time. People always assume I'm the oldest sister. I'm like, I know that I look youthful. I know it's not that. I know it must be my aura of, I know what's going on, and I make the rules. I call the shots. Yeah, Phoebe doesn't really give that off. Anyway, so Mona's like, there's not another motive here. I'm just trying to help your business grow. And Hannah goes, call her right now. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. Imagine being Katie and getting the call like, hey, I want to let you know I'm not Hannah's boss. She's like, okay. Like,
I didn't think she was.
She's like, okay, I don't have time for this phone call. Like, goodbye. Like, I just think it's so. And then Hannah just stands there like watching.
Mona's like, I'm going to get you business cards with your name on them. And
because Hannah demanded them. Hannah goes, I want business cards. I'm like, so you do want her to like be part of the business. Like, okay.
We go to the barn. Spencer comes in, turns the game back on.
Finishes her glass of wine.
Right.
I love that we're drinking the glass of wine, getting in the car, going to the hospital, coming back, finishing the glass, pouring another one.
Like, okay, right where we were.
Right where we left off. Okay. Takes her sling off. She's like, I don't fucking need this for this game. And she gets her prize. And it's a letter from Radley that's addressed for my child. And when she opens it, there's also a puzzle piece that goes on the board, which I would never have remembered because it goes underneath the phone.
Fair.
Spencer immediately picks up the phone and puts the puzzle piece down.
And that's why Spencer's in a league of her own.
Yes. And then she reads the letter. I wrote here, Google letter, so that I could read the whole letter. But basically, it's just like Mary being like, I'm your mom.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a better life, not with me.
And she's like, I'm sorry you were born in an insane asylum.
Insane asylum, yeah. And Spencer's like, thank you. I was waiting. And then Spencer, this next scene like was really sweet.
It was.
Spencer falls asleep on the couch and she has the letter in her hand. And Vivi walks in with her red nails and sees her and sees the letter. And I thought Vivi was going to take that letter, read it, get upset, like go do something.
Well, I also was like, she's going to know what that letter is and she's going to flip out.
Yes. And like, she does know what the letter is. Like, she sees what it is. She sees where it's from, what's written. And she just like takes the blanket on Spencer. She does not touch that letter and pulls the blanket up so it's over the letter too. Like,
and I'm like, that's how you know Vivi's her
mom.
That's
that unconditional love. Like, she's like, you know what? You need to work through this. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the restraint it must have taken her to not read that letter. Okay, so.
We go to Rosewood High School.
And then she like rubs Spencer's face.
It was
just
really
like, sweet.
It was a really sweet scene. Emily has come to see Paige.
Wait, this is so funny.
I do. Just like, Paige, I don't forget who you are.
No, like, I never will.
There's like an analogy that she uses later on, and I'm like, I would tread lightly.
Yes, exactly. Emily goes, so Paige, you can expect an apology from Allie. I'm like, can she? Like, that's funny.
That's not what I deduce from that conversation.
No, I don't know that she's getting an apology.
I watched the conversation from start to finish. So.
Yeah. And now I'm talking to someone else who also got it from a different angle, and neither of us saw that, just so you know. And she's like, I don't fucking need an apology. And Emily's like, look, Allie is different now, I swear.
Paige goes, don't make excuses for her. It's demeaning.
Ugh. And Rose goes, ever notice how she's always the victim? Always the one who needs to be rescued. And okay, she does eat with this line, this next one. Some people make a habit of getting rescued the same way other people make a habit of jumping in after them.
This is where I was like, Paige.
I know.
The line is good. But jumping in after someone typically is when someone's like, I don't know, drowning.
Yeah, so
I just
not
wouldn't
jog the memory.
I wouldn't be jogging Emily's memory to like one of your aggressive, rageful moments. Also, Paige, I think in the beginning part of, I know that you've grown a lot and all this stuff, but like, you also love being the victim when it comes to Allie. This entire thing, like when you were standing in front of Allie's house, you were making yourself the victim.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's not true about Allie and Emily, but you are not like the knight in shining armor perfect person for Emily right now.
No, completely. But it's a good quote, because I'm like, that is,
if it came from Hannah, like if Hannah was looking at Emily, if Emily came to Hannah and was like, this happened with Allie, and Hannah was like, like, this is, I've noticed this in both of you,
right?
Like, maybe it's not a good match,
right? So anyway, then Emily gets a text. All the girls are now at the barn.
And she gets a text, and obviously she ends up going to the barn with everybody, but it gives the look of Allie texted her and was like, hey, I need you in the exact moment.
Yes.
And Emily like
and Emily jumps in after
Emily
her.
Emily looks up from the phone and is like,
don't hate me.
I know this looks really bad, but Allie needs me.
Literally. So all the girls are at the barn. Hannah's pissed that Spencer played the game without them. And Aria is like,
no, because Hannah goes, what gave you the right to play more than any of us? And Hannah goes, Aria's a little
like,
focus.
Aria says, I think the letter. Yeah, a little focus, guys. Aria's like, I think the letter gives her permission. And
someone says, we don't even know if that's real.
True. But Spencer goes, I behaved like a bastard. I was like, okay, good one, Spencer.
Her new identity is going to be.
So, and I wrote, I'm so Hannah, because I also thought they should just smash it. She's like, let's get a crowbar. Let's fucking get in here. Let's see what else is in there. But obviously it would freak out. And as they go to smash it, it starts like flashing and making an alarm. And then a video of them digging up Rollins' body.
Hey, remember what me and Caroline said about this when we saw them doing that? Hey, like, maybe bad idea, girls.
Hey, bad idea, homies. Yeah. So also, why is like the SpongeBob font?
Dude, I know.
Did you notice that?
It says winner take all. I'm also like, isn't winner takes all?
It would be. The winner takes it all.
Like, winner take all doesn't work. Yeah, isn't that ABBA?
Yeah. They say can't stop playing now. Winner takes it all. Takes all. And it is a SpongeBob font.
Yes. We have a
really weird,
bizarre A scene. We're in like an abyss.
It feels like we're in the sunken place.
Literally.
Or we're in the Inside Out when 11.
It feels
like
when you're watching a play and they have a spotlight on just one, but you're in the black box. It's pitch black everywhere else. And Jenna's sitting in this like leather wingback chair and is like, so what's going on? She's at like a tea party. She's drinking tea. And then there's someone
there's someone in scrubs with like
gloves.
Surgical gloves on who's bringing
Jenna
her
doesn't have her glasses on either. She does appear to be blind.
Yeah, she can't see anything. And but she is holding this like really nice, like antique teacups. I'm like, where the fuck with the scrubs? I don't get it. And then go ahead.
And then she's like, tell me about the game. Like, you told me today you would tell me about the game. And then they hand her a binder with Morse code that is explaining all of it. And she gets
Braille.
This.
It's not Morse code. Oh, I'm actually dizzy from that. Oh, my God. They hand her a binder with Morse code. Morse code is boop, boop. You listen to it, actually.
I know that. I do know that. I do know that.
Phoebe's like, and I think that you just get to choose if you want to use Braille or Morse code.
Oh my
God.
Okay,
so anyway, Jenna gets a binder with Braille and she starts reading and you just see her eyes like, holy fuck, is
she's
reading.
She gets the craziest smile on her face.
Yeah, and then she goes, end game.
I'm like, that's maybe probably
out of. I wanna be an end
game. Me knowing the shit that she's reading, I'm like, that's not the word I'm hung up on. I'm not
ready?
Like.
Wait, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Big reputation. Big reputation. Ooh, you and me would be a big conversation. Ah, and you heard about me. Ooh, I got some big enemies.
Yeah.
Big reputation. Big reputation. Ooh, you and me, we got big enemies. Ah, and I heard about you. Ooh,
you like the bad ones too?
Or you like bang?
Wait, which is like.
Taylor,
that is my definition reputation era.
You like the bad ones too,
because it's like the idea of Joe. She's like
the bad
ones. You like bad ones too.
Well, remember his buzz got her hair bleached.
That this is their bad girl eras for both of them.
She was a bad one at that time,
and he was a bad boy.
Even in my worst times, you could see the best in me,
and I woke up just in time,
and I wake up by your side. Ah.
I think she threw that line in there the same way that we both think the alchemy was about Maddie Healy and she rewrote it to be about Travis. Yeah. I think we threw in buzz cut hair bleach so that people weren't like, wait, this song is
Tom.
No.
Ew.
You know who I think this song is
Carly.
About. Of course.
Oh my God.
Also, I have a blind item to tell you about that I'm not going to say on mic.
Oh my God, did you guys hear that?
Because I don't want to be.
Don't you wish that you could be a fly on the wall? A creepy little, sneaky little fly on the wall.
Okay, why?
Did that song come out?
Wait, hey, Last Cult Reese's Woods.
Where is that? And just that specific fly on the wall, just that little part.
And I can see Matt and Bowen doing their little announcements and like completely serious. And then they go,
contenders for most iconic, whatever. I don't know.
And this is why this is their job, not ours.
Yeah, I can't do it off the cuff. Some kind of song. And then they go, fly on the wall.
Next. Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love it so much. We'll talk about it on the Tuesday app. Or do,
okay. Let me pull up the...
Or we could talk about it on Popcast and the Patreon.
I'll talk about it whenever, wherever.
Whenever. Okay, I am like literally in my musical bag today. But no one knows I'm a singer. Don't make me sing. The other day, Addie was like, would you guys like please sing at my wedding? And I was like...
Are you serious? Or is
I literally was like, are
is
you...
Is this a joke?
I literally... And Clyde's like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like, we're on it. And I was like... Did Clyde just like finagle his way into this, or do you actually want this? I was like, of course, like if you're asking, we will, but are you asking?
All right, season 7, episode 12. These boots were made for stalking.
Whoa.
Emily butts heads with you, you're hearing this right, Addison, who may be connected to a familiar Ooh. Foe. Spencer confronts her mother about keeping family secrets, and Arya confides in Holden about her relationship with Ezra, while Spencer turns to Detective Fury for help. Fury is actually spelled F-U-R-E-Y.
I know.
Okay. Okay. Caroline's obsessed with that toy.
Okay. Well, I don't know why it's right here. You were playing with it, weren't you?
No, your fucking dog was.
Couldn't have been my dog. Had to be you. By yourself playing with it. In the den. With the Squeaky toy.
Watching Forever Purge.
Watching Forever Purge or Jenny and Georgia. And being like, yes, queen, about Georgia.
Love her.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you tune in. The Patreon episode last week was a podcast where we talk about all kinds of things that we can't cover on the Tuesday of this week because we had to really, really, really get into the Love Island finale. So if you haven't listened to our Tuesday episode, we're talking all things Love Island. We're talking what happened in the finale. We're talking about the season. We're talking about the controversies. We're talking about who the heck would show up for us for family day. We're getting into it. So listen to that. Next week, we have a Pretty Little Punch Bowl coming out. So keep sending in your ideas and we'll pick the ones that we feel really, really taken by. And that'll be on the Patreon for tier 2. And let us know what you're thinking about the Patreon pilot recap for Honorary Connell Sisters. But if you haven't listened, our Jenny and Georgia app is fire. That is available. There's video. So go listen to that. We love you. Please leave us a 5-star review. Tell everyone you know about us. And we will see you next week.
And stupid, stupid,
stupid. Oh, my God. And we have a new one in the rotation.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save